Let the people of God say amen again. Amen. You may be seated. We thank God for your presence this morning. We thank God that we can be in his house this morning to give him the praise that we're giving him. Regardless of situations, circumstances, things present, things to come, height nor death, Paul said, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have to stay confident in God when everything around us seems to crumble and fall. In spite of situations, again, and circumstances, God is able to turn something what is meant for bad into good. And I pray by all means that, again, you have come with the mind to give God some praise this morning. We are in his house, but for one reason and one purpose, and that is to give him praise. We praise him because he is a righteous, loving, compassionate, merciful God. And we love the fact that God is the way that he is. At least I do. If you love him like I love him, then just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes you just got to let God know you appreciate who he is in your life and learn how to accept the things that come your way, and in accepting them, let him lead you and guide you in the direction that you should go. We'll continue to lift up prayer for Brother Holt. It is a little disturbing to get note of that, but God is still able, amen. He's able to do exceeding and abundantly, so please continue to lift him up in prayer. I want to just call your attention real quickly. I don't plan on being long this morning. Of course, I say that almost every time I get up here. But we'll be here for just a spirit minute this morning. We're going to let God do some work with us, and hopefully and prayerfully we can be encouraged by the word here this morning. We've been studying out of this text of Hebrews chapter 12 for a few Sundays now, and we've been looking at the Spirit's role in our life. And I thank Brother Gamal for reading that word so eloquently and smoothly, but I want to drop just a few verses again back in your hearing so I may set the stage for the word this morning. Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. He says then, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chastens it not? And then verse number 11 says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I want to just kind of set a stage, if you would, so bear with me as I read just a little bit. We've been on a journey as we've been looking at the Spirit's role in leading our lives. We have discovered that the Spirit indwells the believer while teaching, testifying, and guiding. We have also been encouraged to see the Spirit reveal the truth about God, in that he is an omniscient God, an omnipresent God, and an omnipotent God. The Spirit has also revealed and exposed truth about ourselves by confronting, correcting, and counseling us as believers. In our text this morning, we find the Hebrew writer quoting Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. And it appears as if he changes metaphors from the beginning of Hebrews chapter 12, from running a race to a father disciplining his child. But in reality, the best coaches are like fathers, amen. Coaches like fathers are charged with the important task of teaching, guiding, motivating, providing love, support, as well as correction. Our Heavenly Father is the very essence of all of these things and more, amen. He wants to see, if you would, his players, his children, excel in abundant living, be surrounded with love, be motivated to live righteous, and to have a life of peace, which may require correction at times. We would be encouraged to note the Hebrew writer's words, in that whom the Lord loves, he said, he chastens and scourges. In other words, God wants the best for us. He wants to rid us of all unrighteousness and expose as well as encourage us to live righteously. In a moment of correction, a physical coach may use a whistle to signify a rule infraction that may have been committed by a player. But in the life of a believer, no whistle is required. I'll say that again. In a moment of correction, a physical coach may use a whistle to signify a rule infraction committed by a player. But in the life of a believer, no whistle is required. I would submit this morning 2 points for us to consider in the very important matter of the chastening hand of God. First and foremost, God's chastening is never punitive, it's corrective. Secondly, God's chastening is never confrontational, it's consequential. I don't know about you, I'm glad we got a God who loves us like he does. I'm glad we got a God who wants to see the very best for you as well as for me. I'm glad we have a God that doesn't give up on us, church. Amen. A God who loves us, and if we'd give him permission, would love us into submission. He'd give us an opportunity to be numbered, if you would, among these cloud of witnesses that we would find in Hebrews chapter 11. And it's interesting to me that as believers, the more we seek God out, the more God seeks us out. James would remind us that when you draw nigh to God, guess what he's going to do? He's going to get closer to you. And I don't know about you, I need a God who will meet me where I'm at in my crisis, meet me where I'm at in my behavior, meet me where I'm at in situations that have gone south, and help me to see the importance of knowing that things are going to be all right. I don't know about you, I struggle. How about y'all? Yes. Do you have moments where you sin? Yes. Do you have moments where you just messed it all up? Would you like a God to come at you and blow a whistle at you and tell you you're all wrong? Would you like your God to come up to you and say, you done lost your mind? You didn't see that sin right there? What's wrong with you? Would you like a God who is so on top of you and always on your toes and stomping every time you got hurt or fell down and just screaming at you? Get your head in the game, man. What's going on here? I just made you repent, I forget, and you're doing it again? What kind of God would he be who would always have an iron fist or would always come down you know, to a point where you felt worthless? Felt like you never could do anything right. I might need my whistle during the sermon. That's why I put it on. But I want you to see something this morning about our God. Our God loves us, people. Yeah. He loves us so much that he's willing to take time with us. He's willing to allow us to get things right. Now, I don't know about you. I'm glad God's not like me because I don't have time for people sometimes. Sometimes I'm tired of hearing, I'm sorry. I'm tired of, hey, man, y'all go on and hang with me. If I'm in the street, just wave at me. I know y'all righteous and holy folk up in here, but every now and then you might slip up. I'm glad we have a God who's willing to take time and coach us along and encourage our hearts and remind us of the importance of just seeking him out. Because we have another father we heard this morning, if you're not careful, if you're not serving the father called the devil. Yeah. And he is nothing but disrupt and disorder, negativity, confusion. And he wants your soul just as bad as God wants your soul. But I'm convinced God wants your soul more. So much so that he's willing to coach you along and encourage you. I don't know about y'all. I like a good coach. Amen. I got any fans in the house of any sports who like good coaches? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I know I got some Laker fans in here. Amen. You like a good coach, don't you? Yes, sir, do. Amen. Well, a good coach knows his player, knows what his player is capable of, knows the ins and outs about the player, and the player knows his coach. Knows what the coach is capable of. So much so that I think in Steve Young's book, he wrote a book, he said, you know, a true and honest coach knows his player to a point to where his player would call him father. Y'all quiet out there. It's amazing to me that the God of heaven would allow us a position as to play on his team. We don't deserve to be anything. We don't deserve to be no one. But because of his and mercy, he allows us access to play on the team. I don't know about you, back in high school, I was a little old, scrawny, short little dude. I know it's hard to believe, Deja, but I was your size. And I was, you know, short at one time. But it's amazing to me how I had a desire. I truly wanted to play on the team, but I couldn't because of the way I looked. They didn't give a brother a chance. Yeah, amen. I know. And it seemed the harder I tried to get on the team, the more opposition I received. until they saw me on the sidelines, you know, shooting hoops, and every hoop I shot, I was making. Then all of a sudden, things kind of turned around, and Stan, will you be on my team? Yeah. Of which I responded, no. But what I'm saying is, we have a God who sees where you're at. He sees your heart. He sees your desire. He wants what you want, the best for you. Yeah. But the question is how do you view him when sometimes he has to coach you along? When sometimes you step out of line, or sometimes you don't do things the way that you're supposed to do. I want you just to hear just a few things this morning about God's chastening. It's never punitive, it's corrective. In other words, God's goal is never to destroy you, but to correct you and instruct you into righteousness. God never wants to come along and blow his whistle at you, make you feel less than what you are when you're where you are. Amen. Sometimes, you know, you feel bad because of the things you've done. You're already all jacked up, and the last thing you want to hear is someone come and tell you, ooh, you messed up. The last thing you need is for anybody to tell you you're wrong, because you already know that you're wrong. So God doesn't want to put his foot on your neck. Matter of fact, he wants to reach out a hand and help you up. He wants to lead you and direct you in a manner as to want to strive beyond the failure in the position that you hold in the current. God wants to move you past failure to success. Any of y'all in here ready to move? Are you ready to move from them failures, from them pitfalls in your life, them things that are holding you back, and move on to success? Then you need to tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, we moving. Amen. Tell your other neighbor, neighbor, we moving. And don't forget to tell yourself, self, we moving. Now y'all feel like you're moving?
Yes, sir.
Are y'all still sitting still? Hey, come on now. Do you feel like moving?
That's right.
Are you going to sit still? See, God can't do with you unless you understand he can do with you.
Yeah.
And then he can't deal with you the way he needs to deal with you unless you know what kind of dealings he's going to deal with you with. Some of us are scared of God.
Yes.
We think God is a God who's going to breathe like a fire dragon down your neck because you didn't do it right. God would much rather you have an understanding that he can fix what you messed up instead of you positioning yourself to stay in a state of failure when he designed you to be successful. I don't know about y'all. I'm feeling better these days. My God is not a God who chastises me in a punitive position, but a corrective position. You remember John chapter 2. I'll make this quick. I'm going to keep my word this morning. But you remember John chapter 2. You remember the wedding feast there. You remember when Jesus did that wonderful thing as he sat at the tables and made that water into
wine.
I know. Just hold on. It's going to be all right. I promise. And then later on, you remember Jesus getting to the temple and then going in and seeing some of the things that they were doing. There were worshipers who literally went to the temple to worship. They'd come long distances and they'd bring sacrifices such as ox. Now, ox would come in and it's amazing. Usually these worshipers were greeted by a priest. And the priest would be there and he'd over and look and inspect the animal. And he'd probably look at the ox and say, you know what, this ox ain't going to work. It's got a blotch behind the ear. He's a little jacked up. But I tell you what, you're just in luck. We have some pre-approved oxen here. Amen. That cost X amount of dollars. You give us this oxen and we'll give you a pre-approved oxen that will be offered up to the Lord as a wonderful, beautiful sacrifice. They were literally, if you would, playing people. Amen. Taking people's money. You know, making them feel less than what they had to offer when truly the oxen that they brought, if it was brought in the right heart, I'm technically believing that it was a good ox. But that's not enough. You know, these folks would come, worshipers would, and they'd give some money. And they'd have some money in their pocket as to put into the treasury. But then when they got there, you know, again, the priest would tell them, well, this ain't the right kind of money. Matter of fact, it doesn't resemble Caesar, so, you know, this isn't going to work in the treasury. But you're in luck. We got some exchanges in here who will give you the right amount of currency, but it's going to cost you 10 times more than what you're used to paying. Y'all quiet, amen. Would you like a coach like that?
No.
That when you got to the house of God, what you had to bring, your heart and your sincerity, and you were ready to offer it up, turned around and told you, you can't use that here? Wow. No, I'm glad we got a God who's different. A God who loves us just the way we are. A God who partners and says, you know what, yeah, you in sin, but I tell you what, if you trust me, if you'll ask for forgiveness, I'll raise you up, and when you leave out of here this morning, you'll be feeling a lot better. You don't have to carry them burdens around with you no more. Matter of fact, because you've given me your heart, I'm going to change your entire life, and I'm going to make your crooked places straight. I'm going to bend some things around the corner for you that you can't see that's going to help, and it's going to bless your life. Does anybody out there know what I'm talking about this morning? How many of y'all love this God whom we serve? Who is patient with us. He's long-suffering. He's kind. He's ever merciful in his correction, although it may not seem pleasurable at the time. It yields for you a productive fruit, a fruit that bears something, that means something to you. I don't know about y'all. I get tired of storms, but they're going to come, and I know that. But I'm glad I got a God who can take me through the storm. Even in my state of rebellion, when he says go right and I go left, he's still waiting for me over there on the right side. So when I get done bending that hard left and I have to make a U-turn and come all the way around and then come back to the right, he's still waiting on me to help me along the way. Amen. See, sometimes we view God as a God who is so hard on us and so mean that he can't and ain't going to do. It's almost like you think God has it out for you. Y'all quiet. You know, in that table where Jesus gets into the temple and he sees what's going on, he begins to make a cat and nine tail, a whip. He starts turning over tables. He's mad. He's upset simply because instead of the sheep getting fed, they were getting fleeced. Instead of the sheep being blessed by God, they were getting robbed by the priests, the rulers, and those who were in charge at that time. So Jesus got upset, and he turned some tables over. Now, that anger wasn't to say, you know what, I'm so going to rain down fire and brimstone on y'all because y'all are unrighteous, as much as it was to say, this isn't the right way to do this. This doesn't belong in my Father's house. My Father's house is a house where people can get what they need, where they can bring themselves just like they are and be accepted only because their heart is bent toward me. Any of y'all just feel like you couldn't go to church because it was too holy? Y'all ever felt like some churches you walk into, you was the worst thing walking when you walked in because everybody in the way they looked at you? Not forgetting that the ones who are looking at you all crazy upside your head was just sinners yesterday. Come on, church. Wish I had a church. I might preach a little bit this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19 and 20. I like the Lord because as Paul is inspired to write at the church, Corinth, he encourages and lets them know about their own life, about their body. He reminds them of the importance of keeping the body holy and making sure they do what God has asked of them to do. Because if they don't, there's an arch enemy again named the devil who is deciding and trying his best to destroy the very essence of what God has created them to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is what? The temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. And guess what? You're not your own. For you were what? You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which belong to who? God's goal isn't punitive, it's corrective. His goal is to rid of you of skinny cattle, bleeding sheep, and rip off money changers who pollute your temple. The very thing of unrighteousness God wants to rid of so that you can be filled with righteousness. And he comes along with his arms open, waiting for you to ask him to help you. I don't know about you. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 rings real bright in my head when he talks about, come unto me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me. While I'm low, I'm meek and hard, you'll find rest unto your soul. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You don't have to feel burdened when I show up. That's what God's saying. I'm not here to add to your downfall, to your burden. I'm here to lift it off of you. Boy, y'all quiet out there. I'm just trying to help somebody. Some of y'all came in here heavy this morning. And God's position is to beat you down about what you're heavy about. His job is to lift that burden off of you so you can walk out here free. How many of y'all feel good? How many of y'all feel better now you're hearing some of the word? How many of y'all going to feel real good when you leave? See, the idea is that God puts you in a position to be successful. He wouldn't create you and make you to leave you. He wouldn't create you and make you for failure. Especially when he quotes, I have great things for my children in store. Especially when he quotes, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I have a tendency to kind of lean now more on that stuff than all this other stuff. I come into God's office expecting to get well because I know he wants to fix me. That's my point. As believers, I want to encourage us that to understand that God doesn't, you know, discipline you or chasing you on a punitive position, but a corrective position. Secondly, I want to encourage you, God's chastening is never confrontational. Amen. I'm glad he's not like that, but it's consequential. You bring a lot on yourself.
Yes,
truth be told, you bring most of it on yourself. If we go a little further, you bring all of it on yourself. And that word sin there, if you acronym it out, is self-induced nonsense. You do a lot of that to yourself. Amen. James said, each one is tempted when he's drawn away, James chapter 1, by his own lust and enticement. And when sin has its way with you and you allow sin in, it produces death. And when death has its full reign, you ain't no more. Amen. He said, he's no longer, he's no longer. In other words, you've given yourself over to such unrighteousness that it's having its way with you that you can't feel you can be saved. Any of y'all ever feel like you're in too deep? Or maybe you've ever felt like you've been in too deep. I'm here to let somebody know this morning, you're never in too deep when Jesus is on the scene. When the Lord, the God of heaven, comes down and he says, you're going to get out of what you're in, you're going to get up out of what you're in. I think sometimes you got to start seeing God in a different light. God don't want to trip you up. He want to help you up. Say amen when you can. Some of y'all need to get up this morning. Quit staying down there. That's not your position. That's not your posture. That's not where you belong. Matter of fact, whom the Lord loves, he comes alongside to say, well, you know, you didn't get it right, but I tell you what, here's one more chance.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. Y'all ever seen Let's Make a Deal?
Yeah.
You ever seen The Price is Right?
Yeah.
You know, when they get them extra chances?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't get it this time, but I tell you what, if you can tell me the price of this, I'm going to give you one more chance.
Yeah, yeah.
View God like that. God's saying, well, you didn't get it right, but if you just tell me how much your life is worth to you by following me, I'll give you one more chance.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you got to start seeing God as an individual who's not confrontational, but because of the stuff that you've done, it's consequential. Y'all all right out there? Y'all got a few minutes? God does not confront you in a disciplinary manner for the sins that you've done or ever will do. Your sin is forgiven, past, present, and future. I'll shout about that. Amen. However, in Numbers 32:23, we read, be sure that your sin will find you out. Notice it's not finding us out. God isn't finding us out. It's our sin finding us out. God is not sniffing around, searching for your failures and shortcomings so that he can have a reason to punish you. Amen. I'll say that again. God is not sniffing around, searching for your failures and shortcomings so he can have a reason to punish you.
No.
Amen. I think sometimes coaches don't like certain players, but they got to put up with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. That's why they stay on the bench all the time. And then no sooner than they get to get a little play time because the other all-star player done broke his foot or something.
Oh.
Here, you mad now.
Uh-huh.
Well, whistle don't even work no more. Flag on the play. I mean, it's just all kinds of it. We didn't practice that in practice. What's wrong with you? Is this making sense to you? God's not like that. God's not a God who's saying, see, I told you if I gave you some time, you'd mess it up. I told you if you would go down that road, you'd mess. And I knew it. I was waiting on you to do it. God's not like that. He's a God who loves us. The Lord loves you. He chastens, he scourges you. He gets you to see the importance of trusting him, not trusting everything else. How many of y'all have held the devil's hand when you walked with the devil and all of a sudden you went to look behind you and the devil wasn't no longer holding your hand? He led you down a path and led you down some roads that were very, very disheartening, discouraging, as well as depressing. You were so in so deep and you didn't know how you were going because you didn't know how you got in there. I mean, y'all been and done some things and didn't realize what you did until it was too late. And then after you did it, it was too late. And there wasn't nobody around to help you. And the devil, the very one who led you in there, because of your own desire, now that he has left you, you see him out there and he's sitting there snickering at you. He's saying, I got you. I thought you said you was righteous, but I see you unrighteous. But God's not like that. God will lead you. And when stuff arises and things get hard, he'll help you to get up out of those things if you just trust him. But unfortunately, we allow sometimes the things that we've done and the consequences thereof to burden us and to weigh us down. I think Paul said it best, Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. He said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. God's not coming along and saying, I knew it. It was just a matter of time. No, God's saying, you know what? I ain't even got to say nothing to you. You know, sometimes my little son, I love him, but he's just hard-headed.
That's right. That's a little boy.
He remind me of his daddy. I'll tell you. Yeah, I heard you the first time. He get it from his daddy. I heard you the first time. Your time for preaching is over, amen. But while I'm here, you're absolutely right. There's something I don't know I'm getting paid back for. I know what y'all said, but I didn't believe you, but it's my time now. But he's hard-headed. I tell him, don't do that. The other day I told him, quit jumping on the bed. Stop. Here I am. Come here. What's wrong with you? Stanley.
Yeah.
Just making any sense to anybody? And no sooner than I tell him all of that, he jumps and he misses the part of the bed and bam! And first thing out of my mouth, I told you was going to fall and hurt yourself.
That's
as real as I could get it, people. I knew it. Oh, ain't no need to cry. Don't come over here with me. You jump to bed like a man. Be a man when you fall. But God isn't like that. We have a God who says, you fail, my son. But if you understand why you fail and that you fail, get on back up. The prophet of old would say, Isaiah would say, a righteous man may fall 7 times. But what makes that man righteous is when he gets back up. And you can't get up by yourself, but I know a God who can help you up. Hebrews 13:5, truth be told, he saw you fall. Because he don't ever leave you, nor will he forsake. When you're heavy laden and you need him the most, he's there for you.
Yes.
Wasn't that the Hebrew writer that would continue to say, he won't leave us, nor will we forsake us. So we can stand boldly in that day.
Yes.
And we can say, I shall not fear what man can do to me. Why? God's with me.
Yes.
I don't know about you. Sometimes I just got to hold on to the fact that, yeah, my sins are finding me out. Yeah, it's jacked up, but it's still going to be all right. Because he loves me enough to allow that consequence of that sin to change me and remind me, don't do what you did before.
Yes.
Stay out of there. Don't go that direction no more unless you want your head bumped like you just got it bumped. Truth be told, I ain't seen Stanley jump on the bed in a minute. I'm just saying. Remember when the people of Israel themselves were getting involved with all kinds of sin, what God said in Jeremiah? Listen to this. Thy own wickedness, God said, shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Did you catch that? Thine own wickedness shall correct thee. Thy backsliding shall reprove thee. It's not God, people. It's the consequences of our sin that bring their own tragic repercussions. I got to quit, but do you remember the story of Cain and Abel?
Yes.
The Bible said that Cain and Abel brought an offering to the Lord. Abel brought of his first fatlings.
Yeah.
Amen. Uh-huh. And Cain brought just whatever. And the Bible said God accepted Abel's, but he rejected Cain's. And Cain was upset that God wouldn't take what he wanted to give him. I think there's a sermon somewhere off in there. You know, God just ain't gonna take whatever you want to give him. He can only receive or he'll only approve what he wants you to give him. In other words, if you're not planning on giving him your all, don't give him nothing at all. God wants every part of who you are because you're going to mess up the other half you try to keep.
Yeah.
I'll say that again. God wants all that you are because if you don't give him all, you're going to mess up the other half that you're trying to keep. But Abel, you know, he gave of his best and God just said, thank you, my child. But Cain didn't do that. And so as a result, Cain was upset. The Bible said his countenance was down, and God showed up. And he said, what's this I see on your face, Cain? Mm-hmm. If you give a gift good, will it not be accepted? But if you don't give a gift that's good, look at this, sin lies at the door. It's not a God who's confrontational. It's consequential. Your actions dictate your progress. I'll say that again. Your actions will dictate your progress. If you're headed down the wrong road, expect a wrong turn down at the wrong road. Amen. Head down the wrong direction, expect all hell to break loose. Amen. I know, you know, that's the kind of part everybody want to kind of tiptoe and be quiet about. But if you out there thugging, expect thuggish things to happen. Amen. If you're out there getting faded, expect to be faded out. Are you listening to me? If you're going around lying, expect to be noted as a habitual liar. Amen. Expect folk to stay away from you, not to believe anything you got to say. Amen. But if you're going down the right path, expect things to be a blessing for you. Yeah, they're going to get hard, but you can anticipate it's going to get better because you've been doing what God has asked you to do. But it's interesting to me. The Bible said that God, you know, called up Cain and said, you know, Cain, where's your brother? Mm-hmm. Amen. Where is your brother? And you know, when you just unrighteously, amen, am I my brother's keeper? And the answer is, yeah. Matter of fact, God said, you know what, you don't even have to answer that. Look at the consequential. I hear his blood crying out from the earth.
Come on now.
You ain't got to tell me something I already know. I don't need to confront you about this. Your consequences are going to eat you up. So much so that I tell you what, I'm going to mark you. I ain't going to kill you. I should kill you, an eye for an eye. But I ain't going to kill you. I'm going to let you stay around a little longer. Matter of fact, I'm going to let you stay around a long time. And the King I read this morning said, you're going to be like a vagabond.
Ooh, hobo.
Hobo. Yeah. You're just going to walk around aimlessly. Ain't nothing going to work good in your favor. You're going to try to till the ground, and you're going to think you have it all together, and it's going to produce a right fruit. But when that fruit come up, it's going to wither sooner than it come up. A matter of fact, truth be told, I'm going to let the stuff in the ground that I have created eat your seed. Are you listening to me? See, God doesn't have to confront you with your mess. He let the consequences of your mess deal with you. If that's not enough to see Cain and Abel, look at the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15. The Bible said he asked daddy for his inheritance. Amen. As though he had, you know, a right to ask. Come on, this is 2015. Y'all who have chillings. What if your child came and told you, daddy, give me what's due me? If you like me, Dear Stanley, I'm going to give him something, all right? You got it coming, son. Here we go. Give me that leather belt. Mr. Woody will work better.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you something.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be what you think. Mm-hmm. But the Bible said, what did the father do? He gave him his inheritance. And as he gave him his inheritance, the Bible said the son went off. Spent all what his daddy gave him on loose living. It got to a point he lived so unrighteously that all of a sudden he became to have need of something. Let me tell you something. When you rolling dirty, it's a matter of time before you just dirty. Did y'all catch that? When you're rolling dirty, it's just a matter of time for you just dirty. God will roll the wheels off of your dirty rolling and make you sit in the dirt.
Yes, sir.
And God don't do it. It's your consequences based upon your behavior. But he'll let you stay there. Through his permissive will, he'll allow the storms of life and the things to come and confront you, convict you and console you to a point to where if you're righteous, you'll get it and you'll head back home.
Yeah, yeah.
The young man saw that. He said, you know what? I done jacked it up. Amen. I like to tell you, he had a flag on the play moment. He saw himself living the way that he ought not to live. And then he thought about it. Why am I out here like this? My father at the house got servants who eat better than I do. And I'm down here with these hogs eating slop. I know what I'll do. Watch this. I'll go back home. And when I get home, guess what? I'm going to tell Dad something. Yeah. Father, I've sinned against you, against heaven, and I'm no worthy to be known as your son. Just make me as one of your servants. The Bible said he got home. What happened? Daddy wasn't confrontational, was he?
No.
Yeah, he was. Flag on the play. You think you're coming back up in this house?
Uh-huh.
Really? I mean, you just took half of the house when you left the first time. We just got it all built up. And all of a sudden, you want to come back home when things are going good just because they're going bad for you?
Uh-huh.
Y'all don't do folk like that, do you? Amen. I wish I had a church. I might preach a little of this.
Yeah.
Sometimes we position ourselves as judge. We want to inflict, you know, conflict on people, and we got enough conflict in our own. You know, you want to be confrontational with folk in their mess, but you want to hide your mess behind you. Wait, maybe that's why you are being confrontational. So they mess hides your mess. I'm glad we got a God who will confront and console and convict, but he'll do it in a position that's to let you know you already know what you've done. But if you come clean with me, I'll take care of you. No, the daddy doesn't sit there with a Uzi of I told you so. He comes running out to his son. And he greets him. He kisses him. I don't know. You've been down in a hog pen and you want me to kiss you. I don't know. We're going to have to pray on that one. We might have to have a little prayer and a little fasting, too. We might need a few days on that one. Might have to have a business meeting, Deja, but, you know. But no, the father doesn't do that. He kisses him, hugs him, puts his arms around him, and then screams out, bring a robe. Put it on him. Man, he ain't took no bath, and you're going to give him a robe to put on? There go my whistle again. You mean to tell me he's accepted? Yeah, put some sandals on his feet. Put a ring on his finger. No, don't do that. You know he's going to go to the pawn shop later on and get rid of that thing. God's not confrontational. A lot of stuff that's happening in earth is consequential. It happens simply because upon your own actions. God of heaven is here. He's waiting on you. And what's interesting to me in that story, there's three sons there if you look closely. One son is the lost son or the prodigal son. The second son is the plotting son, the one who stayed home, who angry and upset and mad because he got a party and I get it. I get it. But then there's also the perfect son who shows us that no matter how deep you're in it, I'll pull you out if you just acknowledge what state you're in. I don't know about you. I'm glad I got a God who loves me like he does. I'm glad that no whistle is required. I'm glad that he don't beat up on me. I'm glad he don't do me like that. I'm glad he ain't screaming his head off at me telling, look, get it right. Because you know how we do sometimes as parents. As soon as they done got it wrong and done messed it up, I raised you better than that. Where did you? Let's flip your life book back a few years. Amen. You remember when you were sagging and now you don't want him to sag? I like to keep mine 100. You remember when you was wearing short shorts and now you... Who that girl with the Daisy Dukes on? I know y'all know what I'm talking about. Remember when your skirt was short? Talking about, child, is it long enough? No, you got to do all that. Or you got to sit a certain way. I'm just saying, I don't know for sure. I'll just be observing stuff. Well, what about that time you were out there smoking weed? About that time you was raising that bottle of liquor? Oh, I'm sorry, we got the other crowd here this morning. What happened when you didn't lie but used power of suggestion? You suggested that something wasn't really happening. We do it all the time when you get the phone call from the bill collector you don't want. Phone ring, and you know who it is, but you accidentally answered it. You thought that private number was your other friend on the line. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Then you answered it talking about, yes, can I speak to Stanley Hartman, please? Well, I don't see him right now. What are you saying, Stan? Unrighteousness is unrighteousness. God's not confrontational with you. Stuff's consequential. But it's used as a means to bring you from unrighteousness to righteousness. Are you here this morning? Are you here and you need God to help you? You're in the right place. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, we can get some help. Neighbor, neighbor, guess what? We can get some help. And please always make sure to tell yourself, say, self. Man, we can get some help. I know it's hard sometimes. I know we don't always do everything right, but that's okay. Don't allow your circumstances to overwhelm you. Don't allow those consequences to ruin you. God is always here waiting on you, because whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He scourges. It's there for the means by which you to see the error of your way and come running back home. Maybe you're here and you're a believer. Maybe you're falling short of the glory of God. Repent, get on the right track, get busy. It's just that easy. Don't stay down when you don't have to stay down. Get up. Maybe you're here and you're not a believer. Come by faith, repentance. Accept him to be the Savior. Are you tired of the boss blowing his whistle in your face?
Yes, I am.
Are you tired of people looking down on you? Are you tired of people ruling you out? Are you tired of failure? Got all these plans that you've made, but every one of them seems to fail. Well, you've tried to rest. Now try the best. His name is Jesus. He wants to help you. He wants to lead you and direct your life. But you have to give him control of your life. And here's how you do it. Come by faith, repentance, accepting to be Savior. We're back in order for the remission of your sins, and you can leave out of here today with no whistle required. If you need to respond, please do so, as together we stand and sing.